This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Friday, August 8th. Brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. Western Growers tackles packaging patchwork. Bird flu goes airborne. And lawmakers talk skinny farm bill on newsmakers. Now here's an editor's note. Daybreak West will not be published next week. Western Growers gets grant to align sustainable packaging rules. USDA has awarded Western Growers $486,000 to lead a collaborative effort to develop unified, sustainable fresh produce packaging standards across North America. The initiative under the Technical Assistance for Specialty Crops program will bring together retailers, packaging suppliers, technology firms, and growers to address a patchwork of differing packaging laws and retailer requirements in the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. It builds on a June 2024 partnership between Western Growers and the Canadian Produce Marketing Association that launched the Sustainable Produce Packaging Alignment Working Group. Gina Cadby, Western Growers Director of Environment and Climate, explained that the goal is to harmonize packaging requirements while maintaining functionality and advancing sustainability. She pointed to an incongruent mishmash of contradictory regulations that differ between retailers in different countries, as well as between federal and state governments. The group aims to produce scientifically sound, practical guidelines to improve packaging design, usability, regulatory compliance, and environmental performance. Organizers say the effort will benefit producers, exporters, and consumers by making it easier to meet both sustainability goals and market demands across borders. Bird flu takes to the air and water. A new study raises concerns that the HPAI H5N1 bird flu virus may now be spreading via airborne particles and contaminated wastewater on dairy farms. Researchers sampled 14 farms across California and detected the virus not only in milking parlor air, but also in cleaning water and equipment, suggesting possible inhalation exposure for both cattle and workers. Some cows showed no visible symptoms, potentially facilitating silent spread. These findings are supported by another study indicating the virus was present in farm air samples and wastewater, reinforcing concerns about airborne and environmental contamination. Researchers say the results highlight the virus' evolving zoonotic potential and underscore the need for ongoing monitoring as the outbreak continues to affect poultry, cattle, and wild bird populations across multiple states. At Minnesota Farm Fest, lawmakers and Duval talk skinny farm bill. Minnesota lawmakers and American Farm Bureau Federation President Zippy Duval have a number of priorities for the so-called skinny farm bill, including conservation and raising farm loan limits. But there's also some tension between Democrats and Republicans left over from the passage of the One Big Beautiful Bill, which cut the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program by $186 billion over 10 years. We're in the very early stage of talking about what we would like to see in the skinny farm bill, Representative Angie Craig, the ranking member on the House Ag Committee, told AgriPulse newsmakers at Minnesota Farm Fest earlier this week. You can watch newsmakers today, by the way, at agripulse.com. However, she added the size of the cuts in nutrition spending makes it harder to get full Democratic support for a skinny farm bill down the road. I've made that clear. Representative Brad Finstead of Minnesota, another Ag Committee member, said he wants to see changes in the USDA's Conservation Reserve Program to ensure that the highest CRP contracts are going to the most vulnerable land, and maybe we take a little less of CRP contract for the most productive, high-quality land in this country. That way, he said, we're not competing with our own federal government when it comes to land rent prices. Now, the Senate Ag Committee's top Democrat, Minnesota's Amy Klobuchar, mentioned raising farm loan limits and trying to restore some funding for SNAP. She also was critical of the Trump administration's tariff process. In the short term, the tariffs bring in some money, but in the long term, for the ag community, it's really a nightmare because it dries up markets. We know last time when this happened, we lost a huge part of our soybean market abroad, and now it's already been shrunk. Duvall said the clock is ticking on trade deals. Without trade deals, that level, the playing field for U.S. farm products, it's going to be very difficult for our farmers moving into the future and getting operating loans and being able to keep the farm sustainable. Minnesota Republican Representative Michelle Fishback defended the administration's record on trade deals thus far. Ag is at the forefront of trade negotiations, she said. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this. When you work with Rabo AgriFinance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders, tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Learn more and contact us at www.raboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision. Rabo AgriFinance. Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West. Maha report out next week. Likely to say yes to fats and no to ultra-processed foods. The Maha Commission report due out next week likely will continue to call for the removal of synthetic dyes from foods, but also may recommend that the upcoming dietary guidelines promote saturated fats, meat, and dairy. That's according to the Center for Science and the Public Interest, hosting a webinar yesterday on what to expect from the report August 12th. An initial report identifying causes of chronic disease in children was released in May and was immediately criticized for its general lack of scholarship. The report could encourage states to pursue isolated additive bans, CPSI Science Director Aviva Musika said. Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has stated publicly he prefers states pass their own policies in lieu of federal regulations. Another possible recommendation would be eliminating quantitative limits on saturated fat and sodium and recommending Americans consume less ultra-processed foods, Musika said. Kennedy has publicly said to expect the dietary guidelines for Americans to come out as soon as October, she said. Hemp takes step toward becoming animal feed ingredient. The hemp industry is one step closer toward access to a new market. The Association of American Feed Control Officials has added hemp seed meal for laying hens as an ingredient in its official publication, which allows animal food ingredients to be recognized within a number of states. Still, inclusion in the publication does not automatically grant state-level acceptance, and industry leaders say hemp's feed regulatory path to market remains riddled with bureaucratic obstacles. That according to a press release from the Hemp Feed Coalition. Andrew Bish, president of the coalition, said in the release that the approval, quote, moves hemp closer to functioning as a real commodity. Here's today's final word. The need for action on heavy metals and food is indisputable. That Kip Thom, Vice Chair of Rural Policy at the American First Policy Institute, in an opinion piece for AgriPulse, urging the Trump administration to protect child health by investing in public research, engaging with farmers, and partnering with the private sector. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Friday, August 8th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Nellie.